Today on the Travel Guys.
In the news, another airline strike vote. Cuba's back on the travel map. And if you can't take it through security, then why not just send it down the hatch?
Ben Schlopik, our ace mileage hound, is here at 2:15 with an update on a big gathering of frequent flyer experts in Chicago.
Then at 2:35, we go live to Mark in Chicago to learn what's actually going on behind closed doors at the not-so-secret gathering of the Klan.
Finally, at 2:50, we go to the mailbag to answer your travel questions.
All that today with Tom and Mark on a Sunday afternoon edition of the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yeah, they're cheering for us as always. It must mean there's another edition of the Travel Guys on the radio. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, of course, being the serious travel dude, is on the road in Chicago. Hello, Chicago and Mark.
Hey, Thomas in Sacramento. I've been listening there to the weather update and the always lovely Aaron Haight, and I'm with the news, and I'm hearing the weather in Sacramento is just a tad bit better than it is here in Chicago.
It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome here. Before we went on the air, you were telling me about a near miss. What do you got?
Well, about 35 minutes ago, we were just a couple miles from the one of the runways here at O'Hare Airport, and about 35 minutes ago, they rushed us all into a couple of interior ballrooms here at the Holiday Inn Elk Grove, and put us inside because they said there was a tornado that had been spotted about 3 miles from here. So all is well now, and I just heard a plane go overhead for the first time in about an hour and a half. So the airport is open again, and I might actually end up in El Paso like I'm supposed to at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tattle on you here. Of course, you know, everyone knows that Mark is a huge Giants fan, and Giants play some baseball a little bit later on in a little playoff game, and I think Mark would be as happy as a clam if he did not have to fly and got stuck for a few hours to be able to watch that game.
Game time is 7 o'clock Central Time, and my flight is due to take off at 8:20. They pushed it back to 8:40. Never, Thomas, have I wished so hard for a weather-related delay at the airport.
Well, with that being said, you know, nowadays the technology continues to improve on airlines so that you can get, you know, internet and such. Is there any chance that you'll be able to connect to anything to get you either the game or updates?
No, this is a hamster propeller plane, powered plane that I'm on to El Paso this evening. So, no, I don't think so. Maybe if somebody flies by the window with sign language or something, we might get it. I might try to talk the pilot into an update somewhere along the way.
All right. Well, okay, we got a fun show ahead of us. Let's go ahead and do what we always do at the beginning each show, and that is fire up the band and bring you up to date in the travel news. You got some for us, Mark?
I've got some good stuff, I think.
All right, bring it.
All righty. U.S. Airways flight attendants, seems like it's popular to take strike votes these days. The American Airlines pilots voted to take a strike vote a couple weeks ago, and now U.S. Airways flight attendants, which recently turned down a new contract, the 6,700 of them, are scheduled to take a strike vote starting October the 31st. Important to know that a strike vote does not mean a strike is coming. It's kind of a way of the labor folks letting the management folks know that they're not very happy with the progress of contract negotiations. Just recently, U.S. Airways flight attendants declined to accept a new contract, which would have brought the U.S. Airways and the old America West folks all under the same agreement. So stay tuned for updates on that one. Smartphones are starting to play a huge role in the booking of hotel rooms. In fact, Travelocity and Expedia are reporting that on some days, as many as 70% of their mobile bookings occur on the day of arrival. This is causing a little bit of a problem for both the web bookers and for the hotels themselves, because it means a greater amount of inventory is being left alive to around until the very last day. It appears, Tom, as though more and more people are getting to a city, looking on their smartphone, or maybe as they're driving into town and deciding where they might want to stay at the literally at the very last minute.
Boy, I tell you, that the new technology and the ability to do that kind of stuff is at hand. Can you imagine years ago showing up in a town and then trying to make it happen?
Yeah, and hoping that you could find a hotel room somewhere along the way. And it's, word now comes from the also from Cuba, that travel has been restored to Cuba. They are starting once again now to approve the people-to-people licenses. We've had a stop in that. The United States government said that they had absolutely no idea what was going on, but indeed last week came from Insight Cuba, which is one of the larger packagers of these people-to-people trips to Cuba, has announced that the government has started to reapprove their applications to take people to Cuba, and indeed they intend to start taking people again as early as next month. I guess I should probably mention that Sports Leisure Vacations hopes to take a group of folks from Sacramento to Cuba in January. Looks as though that trip might actually be on now.
Well, excellent. Now, you say that when you say the government wasn't really up to speed as to what was going on, are you talking about the Cuban government or the United States?
Well, it's hard to say, Tom. The United States government has all along said that there were no issues and they were approving licenses, but the fact of the matter is that for almost 3 months, there's no record of any of the four companies who have been handling these trips that they got any of their requests approved. So kind of hard to say who's telling the truth here, but it looks like at least for now, at least until the presidential election, if we have a change in the White House, that might be a complete change in philosophy, since there's a Republican senator in Florida who really is not in favor of even these people-to-people type exchanges. But we'll keep an eye on it for you.
All righty.
American Airlines has been having some problems. We mentioned the strike vote by the pilots. They've been having some problems with the pilots kind of slowing things down, reporting mechanical things at the last minute, taking the longest and slowest taxi out to the runway, anything they can to slow things down. American has responded by cutting 2% of its flights in September and October to try to get things back on track. Appears to be working, although their on-time rate is still the worst in the industry over the last month and a half. American has announced that they will go ahead and cancel 1% of their flights in November to try to help them keep planes on time and to have a full flight schedule running by the time the Thanksgiving holidays come around. I certainly hope that is the case. Finally, here's something from the TSA folks. We've been kind of rough on them the last 3 weeks, and it doesn't look like news are getting any better for them. Have you ever found a notice in your luggage, Tom, saying it was searched by TSA? See one of those things on the top when you get to the other end?
You know, I have. One time.
And in fact, when I got to Chicago, I had one of them in a suitcase that contained nothing except clean ironed shirts and seven hangers.
They didn't wrinkle them, did they?
No, but okay. There was a thing in the top that said TSA had inspected it, and I thought to myself, that's kind of unusual that they would look into that suitcase. Didn't seem to be anything in there worth looking into. Aha, it appears as though TSA has fired 36 screeners in Honolulu because they supposedly open suitcases, put notices inside of them, and never inspected the suitcases.
Bit
of an alarm. Yeah. So when I got to Chicago and I saw that in a suitcase that has virtually nothing in it, I thought to myself, why would they be looking in that suitcase? You can always wonder. All right, quickly, a couple of lighter stories here. Waste not, want not, right? The Huffington Post reports that a flyer at Dulles International Airport was told that she couldn't bring her handle of Smirnoff vodka through security, so she started drinking it and sharing it with her fellow passengers.
Sure, why not?
At 7:30 a.m.
Oh, that's why not.
Apparently the TSA was not amused, but there was nothing illegal about what she was doing. And better put down that gelato. Italian newspaper reports that a new law has been enacted at Rome which could punish tourists with a fine of up to 500 euros for snacking around monuments and other attractions in the city's historical center. The ordinance reads, it's forbidden to encamp or erect makeshift shelters and to stop to eat or drink in zones which have a particular historic or architectural value. Oh, so be careful where you
snack.
Eat that hot dog.
Oh, boy.
In Rome. When we come back, Thomas, after the break, we're going to have an interview with Ben Schlappig. Ben is here in Chicago. Dare I say, he has been a superstar speaker this weekend. He's going to give us a little bit of a preview of this event that I've been attending, and then we'll come back after the news and fill people in. We'll kind of have a before and after.
Outstanding. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We are the Travel Guys on FM 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to
Hello, my friends. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation across the room. Tom Romano here. And again, we bring on one of our old buddies. Been a while since we've talked to Ben, hasn't it, Mark?
It has been. Ben Schlappig is our mileage expert, our man who works hard at finding the wrinkles in the system, at figuring out ways to not only get people good deals, to get good deals for himself, to pile up those miles and all of this. His adventures have become legendary here on the Travel Guys. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
I've been. Bet you it's even harder than ever to put all those pieces together, isn't it?
It is. The airlines keep cutting capacity, and there's always fewer award seats, so it keeps getting tougher.
So, Ben, you tell us off the air that you're relocating from Tampa, Florida, where you finished your schooling, and you're moving, making a move to the Pacific Northwest, it sounds like.
I am. I'm looking forward to the beautiful winters there of sun and warm weather.
Ben, you've been reading the wrong travel brochure, I'm afraid, my friend.
Sure.
You may be an expert on airlines, but we may have to get you a weather friend or something like that. Seattle is not many people move to Seattle in October in anticipation of the winter.
I am crossing my fingers. We'll see.
Yeah, well, we'll hope so. Ben, listen, Thomas, the reason that we've rounded up Ben this week is because I am headed to Chicago for a gathering of the Klan, a major gathering of frequent flyer folks from all over the country, people who aspire to beat the system, people who are beating it every day, or people who beat it in the past and would like to share their stories.
Well, from a layman's viewpoint, are there a lot of folks like this, and where do they come from?
Well, we've had a few of them as guests on the Travel Guys, along with Ben, some of the other folks. We had Rick, the guy who's the frugal traveler, and we had the lady from Mommy Points who has been on our program recently. So this is a gathering. Ben, tell me, I've been to one of these as in San Francisco, which was more oriented towards a charity. So, Ben, when I get to Chicago on Friday, what can I expect to find?
Well, for one, you can expect about 500 frequent flyer nerds, all looking to learn or share their knowledge. There's going to be, I think, five or six different seminars on all kinds of topics, from mileage running to applying for credit cards for the bonuses, to maximizing miles through everyday purchases. So,
now, Ben,
really should be.
Will some of these folks be beginners? I mean, are these all folks who are dyed in the role, people who have been gathering at gatherings of the Klan for years, or are these, or will we have some folks there who are more amateurs?
That's what's interesting, and what's also difficult as a speaker is that you're really catering to all kinds of levels of experience. So there's people that have never heard of mileage runs before, never heard of credit card sign-up bonuses, and you have people that have been doing this for 10 years. So that's kind of the challenge as a speaker, is to figure out how to tailor something so that it's not too advanced for the newbies, but not too simple for those that have been doing this for years.
Well, and that's my challenge, too. I hope to bring back, by attending this event, I hope to bring back something to my listeners here on the Travel Guys, something that will help the person who only travels occasionally to get a little extra value from their travel, and somebody who is really fanatical, or maybe somebody who this year is looking at things and, gee, I've got 45,000 miles traveled for this year, so how am I going to get that extra 5,000 in December in a cost-effective manner? Or like the lady who's in our mailbag later on in the program, who's asking how she can get inexpensive tickets on frequent flyer tickets on Delta. Those are the types of questions that are going to get answered this weekend. Am I correct?
Exactly. And the good news is, for the first time this year, since this event has been put on for, I think, 3 years now, there's a beginner track and an advanced track. So it's a little bit easier this year to tailor the people's basically knowledge coming into the event. So that's a good thing.
Now, Ben, if the people, you guys are all gathering together in one place to share secrets, it kind of seems to me like it would be in the airline's best interest to also have a presence there.
I believe there's a contract that has to be signed when you arrive, agreeing that you don't work for any airline or that you won't share the knowledge beyond the, or, you know, the real secrets beyond the realm of the event. But
wow. Secrets.
So, it's more geared towards airline employees that they don't attend. So that's the goal.
Have you guys ever had somebody crash one of these events, or has there ever been an issue with something like that? Or do the airlines just? It would seem to me like if they attended, they would want to just be sort of incognito.
Of course, that's the challenge. Not knowingly, but inevitably, I'm sure secrets get out, and that at the end of the day, you know, the news is shared somewhat. And that's fine.
Ben, let me ask you, how did you get into this? What sparked your interest in helping, and what we should tell our audience, Tom, remind our audience that what Ben does, one of the things that he does for a living now is help people secure these ever elusive award point tickets. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But Ben, how did you get into this?
I've always been interested in kind of finding loopholes and systems, and I've always loved flying and travel. And so, you know, it all seemed like a great combination, because at the end of the day, I think that frequent flyer tickets are some of the most complicated systems basically to crack, because most people have no clue how to redeem their miles. So it's kind of something over the years I've had experience with, and decided to do what I can to help other people with that as well.
Well, and it's kind of interesting because the airlines give out these miles and they advertise all over the place about how they want you to use them. But the reality is that they really don't want you to use them to fly on their airplane.
Of course, they just want you to collect as many as you can. They don't actually want you to redeem them, though.
Exactly. They want you to put them up on the wall, or perhaps redeem them for magazine subscriptions or merchandise on which the person who's selling the merchandise paid the airline 3 cents for the miles, or 2 cents for the miles, and you're getting a quarter of a cent credit when you come back the other way.
I don't want to seem like a you know, cynic, but it seems like one of the most popular Southwest, you know, every time you enter an airport or you open your mailbox, there's an offer to take out a Southwest credit card so that you can, you know, automatically get a free trips to here, free trips to there. And I'm always going, well, they're just trying to bait me into getting this card so that they can get their 21% interest. And when it comes down to it, unless I call Ben for help, I'll probably never, ever get to use any of this.
And the irony is that Southwest is probably the one airline now where you can the most easily redeem those points, because they've gone to a fairly simplified system that doesn't help people who make short runs. It doesn't help people like Ben and Mark who try to take a little bit of advantage of the system. But you're absolutely right. Ben, we talked earlier, and it's been a couple months since the Olympics occurred in London. The airlines were really stingy with their frequent flyer seats leading up to the Olympics. Did it get any easier for people as it got closer to the deadline? Were you able to get some folks over to the Olympics using their miles?
It actually got a lot easier. I sent probably a dozen people to the Olympics, and for a lot of them, they had originally booked paid tickets, and then within a couple of weeks of departure, a bunch of first and business class award space opened up at the low level, and they went there on miles. So it worked out quite well.
I guess this would be an appropriate time, Tom, for us to tell. We reminded earlier in the interview that Ben Schlappig, who's our guest, helps folks obtain frequent flyer seats on airplanes. You tell Ben what it is that you need and what miles you can afford to pay, and he either finds it for you or he doesn't charge you for it. Is that pretty much right, Ben?
That's exactly right.
Okay, and your website is?
It's pointspros.com.
Points
with an F.
Okay, pointspros.com, or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll leave you a link there. If you are having trouble getting frequent flyer tickets, Ben is a great resource, and I'm sure that he would be happy to answer even a question for you or something like that if you just had some little thing. Ben, I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person and meeting some of the other guys. I got to meet a few of them in the spring in San Francisco, but meeting some of the other frequent flyer nerds, as you call them, and learning some. I expect to come back from Chicago with a whole head full of tricks, some of which I can share with my audience, and some of which I can't.
Our listeners and myself are going to be looking forward to the stories from the Frequent Flyer Nerds Collide.
Looking forward to it as well.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll see you this weekend, Ben. Thank you very much.
It will be. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. We are the travel guys. Only here can you become a smarter traveler, pretty much.
And as you can tell, that was recorded a couple of days ago. Mark is in Chicago. And so after Aaron brings us up to date on the news, we will go live to Chicago, where Mark is part of that gathering of frequent flyers from all over the planet. And if you're one of those people who've always wondered how those guys get those seats in first class, well, you're not going to want to miss it. All coming up right here on KFBK.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Yeah, Mark, we had to have the Chicago song, didn't we, huh?
Well, there's still something left of Chicago. It's a little soggy here, Thomas, but the winds have died down a little bit, and so life in Chicago. You know, Chicago is, I guess, never a dull moment when it comes to weather, huh?
Apparently not. We are the travel guys. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we mentioned right before the break, Mark is in Chicago at a very, very special function of frequent flyers. And not only, I understand, Mark, that are people there that are trying to find out how to take advantage of frequent flyer miles and so forth. In fact, there's a little name for them. They're mileage runners. And then you have also those that are there and having to do with hotel stays, mattress runners,
yes, a phrase that's just come into the technology of the frequent flyer realm in the last couple of years. Listen, Tom, before we start talking about this, we should remind folks that everything that we're about to talk about here, you can find links to some of these key frequent flyer websites like Flyer Talk and Mile Point and Boarding Area, to Ben Schlappig's Points Pros, all by going to TravelGuysRadio.com. And also on there this week is this really interesting video. I really encourage you to go and take a look at it. TravelGuysRadio.com. They have invented, Tom, the suitcase that will follow you through the airport.
The follow-along suitcase, hey?
Yeah. I haven't tried it, nor have I seen it, nor can I really envision how it would work in a busy concourse like O'Hare or even Sacramento, but apparently this suitcase there's a video there, and it does appear to follow you around.
I'm looking at it now. I'm going to have to check this out. My mother-in-law has a golf cart that does that, but she might be one of the first to want to use. She would know how to use this.
TravelGuysRadio.com. We'll have to get John Holloway on and get him to talk about this. And before I forget, we need to mention that Warren Holloway, who was the founder of Holloway Travel, John's father, passed away last week. He was a longtime employee at the Sacramento Bee and, of course, at Holloway Travel Outfitters, and was often in the store when folks went in to say hello and stuff like that. And he passed away this last week. So our sympathies to John and his family and all the folks at Holloway Travel Outfitters. They have lost the man who founded the business. So.
Yeah. And he will be missed. I know a lot of folks knew Warren, and he's left his mark.
Yeah, he really, really, really has. And his funeral was today, and Clayton has gone to attend and pay respects, and I suspect that probably a large crowd there. All right, anyways, back to what's going on here in Chicago.
Yes.
What is affectionately referred to, Tom, as the Chicago Seminars. There is no way that you would know when you walked into this hotel that there are 500 frequent flyer geeks impounded in the building and hiding away in meeting rooms and ballrooms and stuff, exchanging secrets about how to beat the system. Indeed, though, it's not that there are no airline employees here. Captain Denny Flanagan, who is kind of legendary at United for doing special little things for customers, was a speaker yesterday and left a United 787 to give away in a raffle, and you'll never guess who's coming home with it.
You didn't.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Sure exactly what I'm going to do with the toy airplane, but it's not all that much smaller than some of the ones that I fly on occasionally. So, it's been an interesting weekend here, Tom. Things are starting to wind down now. Ben, who folks heard speaking about this event just before Aaron came on with the news there, really was a superstar. He spoke in three different seminars yesterday for about five out of 5.5 hours. I have no idea where he got the voice to do that. But Ben Ben knows what Ben knows. He really knows, Tom. And we've had him on our program and stuff like that. But I'm just going to tell folks that if you need a frequent flyer ticket and you can't find it, you need to go to pointspros.com and just get in touch with Ben. And for a very modest fee, if it can be done, I'm very convinced that that he will take care of it. There are several other folks here who do the same type of thing that he does. There are there have been seminars on every type of travel, including a gentleman who pointed out that really and truly, Amtrak has a frequent traveler program, which you can transfer points into from another of number of other programs. And that, frankly, Tom, taking a family on a train trip across country,
right,
or a partially across country, or up the coast on the Coast Starlight, in a cabin on board the train with meals and stuff included, is actually a very economical and good use of points, miles, etc., because Amtrak's the cost for doing that at Amtrak is very inexpensive. You could take a family of four on a train trip for less than it would cost you or I to make a trip across country in a first-class airline seat.
Well, this sounds like one of the questions answers to one of the questions that I was going to ask you is, what little nuggets did you learn that you were most surprised about? And apparently the Amtrak frequent flyer transition
was one of them. Just to give you an idea of the types of things that you can learn here, yesterday in a seminar, a gentleman who was talking about technology just mentioned that, you check into a hotel room. We've all got these gadgets now, and they've all got to be recharged, and there's never enough plugs in the hotel room, and you've always got to climb underneath the table, to plug your stuff in. And his suggestion was bring a power strip with you on the road, and which I thought was a phenomenal idea. It doesn't take up hardly any room in your suitcase when you get to the hotel that doesn't have enough plugs. If you may still have to climb under the table, but you'll only have to climb under there once, because then you'll have your power strip available to you. I thought that was just an amazing little travel tip. It doesn't have anything to do with frequent flyer miles or anything, but it was the kind of thing that you can find out when you're around interesting people. Hotel hopping was a topic for a while yesterday.
Okay, what is that about?
Well, that is when you go on the road, and many hotel chains, the way that you become a frequent guest is by the number of stays.
Uh-huh.
Some have a number of stays qualification or a number of room nights qualification, but generally the stays is the easier one to get. So if you went on the road, and let's say you were staying in Chicago for five nights, and you're a Starwood guy, so what you might do is you might look around and say, all right, well, here are five different Starwood hotels within a couple of miles of where I need to be. And every day I'm just going to change hotels and create a brand new stay. Or another thing you can do is if you just have two hotels, you can bounce back and forth. You can do one night in one hotel, one night in another hotel, one night back in the first hotel. And what this does is it helps pile up the number of stays and move you further up the ladder. And
that's
indeed,
true, because the more stays, the opportunity to get benefits down the road. Never really thought about that, because you might go and stay 5 days at one place and you're only going to get one stay. But if you I love that.
There was
my wife won't, because she hates to have to change rooms.
Great, Tom. The lady who brought this up was Summer Hull, who is the lady who does mommypoints.com, who's been a guest with us and will be a guest with us again in a couple weeks. And she brought it up and said, yeah, her husband wouldn't speak to her for 6 months last year because every time he went on a business trip, she made him change hotels.
That's what I'm talking about.
Every single night. Other things that were talked here that really made a point with me, a big discussion on, is this a hobby or a business? How much is status on an airline or a hotel really worth? One gentleman pointed out that, to get to purchase Economy Plus on an airplane and to purchase a little bit of an upgraded room at a hotel, some of the perks that you get as a frequent guest or a frequent flyer, add up the cost of those things and what it costs you and how much time you spent trying to get that status. And it's entirely possible that you may decide the status isn't really worth what you've been spending on it, which I thought was kind of interesting. Also, there was another discussion here, a good tidbit that I found that has actually worked for me a couple times worth sharing, how to make schedule changes on the airlines work in your favor.
Okay.
If you've booked you go online and you book a $350 ticket to Orlando, and you would have liked to have had the itinerary on the $450 ticket, but you decided for $100 you would take the longer layover, the more circuitous route, whatever. Then there's a schedule change, and the airline calls you, or you go online and you say, wow, the schedule has changed. you go back to them many times, you can request that itinerary that you wanted in the first place, and they will give it to you. At no additional charge.
Oh, well,
so
there you go.
Whenever there's a schedule change, and it's significant, more than just, if it's just a few minutes, they're probably not going to listen to you. But if it's a half an hour or a couple of hours, ask for that itinerary. Do your homework before you call the airline so that you know what it is that your first and second choices are, and suggest to the agent that that's what you'd like to have. Also, another point that was made here, you know how we've told people over and over again, you know, if you call an airline, a hotel, whatever, and they're not willing to do exactly what it is that you want them to do because you're kind of skirting the rules a little bit, best thing to do, hang up, call back again, get a different person on the phone. You never know when you'll get somebody who's really who really can do what you need to do. And the number of tricks involving, there are folks here, Tom, there is a man from UC Davis. I know we're running up against the break here, but there's a man from UC Davis.
Mm-hmm.
He's known as the pudding guy among all of the frequent flyer people. He is just the pudding guy.
The pudding guy, huh?
I couldn't tell you his first name, and I spoke to him yesterday.
Are we going to find out how he got that name now?
We are.
All right.
There was an opportunity to get frequent flyer miles from those little individual cups of pudding that are sold. I don't know which brand it was, but they're sold in four packs. Apparently, at one time, they were sold individually, and he bought 12,000 of those.
That sounds familiar.
And then enlisted the Salvation Army to take the coupons off the sides of the containers for him, gave the Salvation Army the pudding, kept the got 1.25 million frequent flyer miles out of the whole deal, which he used to travel all over the place, and he deducted the cost of the part of the cost of the pudding because he gave it away to the Salvation Army.
That's brilliant.
That's just one example of some of the things, and when we have more time, and we'll have some of these folks on the program in a couple weeks and be able to talk to them about some of these secrets. Some of them are incredibly bizarre, and you would only consider them if you had way too much time on your hands and a few dollars in your bank account. But some of the other ones really and truly are things that are within the reach of the average everyday person. There are a lot of people here, Tom, I have to tell you, who have earned hundreds of thousands of miles and points with hotels and airlines and have never stayed in one of the hotels and have never set foot on one of the airplanes.
That is something else. Well, you know, coming up in our next segment, it's the mailbag segment, and we have some great questions. In fact, one of them actually has to do with one of our listeners who is dealing with a situation with trying to take advantage of using her points, and maybe we can answer that. What do you think, Mark?
We've got, we have a whole, to say we have a full mailbag would be an understatement. So we'll get to those when we come back, Thomas.
All right, right here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We are the Travel Guys, and we shall return in just under 4 minutes here on KFBK. All right. The music in the background. Mark, I don't know if there may be some singing here, but do you know what the song of this is?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. I thought the commercials were just going to go until the top of the hour there.
Hey.
Hey, that dance sounds like fun over at the Wood. There's a lot of cool stuff going over at the old Radisson / now the Woodlake.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and a lot of it is right up the alley of, your audience for sure.
Absolutely.
Remember the day? You remember the day?
Like fun prelude to the season was held over there on Friday afternoon. I understand it was a big success, and so good to hear that the old Radisson / original Woodlake might be making a comeback. A lot of folks who probably have memories there. Hey, Tom, remember a couple weeks ago we talked about folks who getting an email from somebody who was overseas and was in trouble and how it was all a scam and stuff
right.
Well, I got one.
Just a couple days ago.
It's from a gentleman who is in my Toastmasters club. Haven't seen him for a couple of
years.
What was his
blight?
It just says, "Hello, good morning. I'm writing with tears in my eyes.
My family
and I came down here to Madrid, Spain for a short vacation. Unfortunately, we were mugged at the park of the hotel we stayed.
Oh, no.
All cash, credit cards, and cell were stolen off. But luckily for us, But luckily for us, we still have our passports with us. I have been to the embassy and the police here, but they're not helping issues at all, and our flight leaves pretty soon from now. But we're having problems settling the hotel bills, and the hotel manager won't let us leave until we settle the bills. So please be so kind to reply back so I can tell you what to do and how to get some cash to us. I'm freaked out at the moment."
And oh, the freaked out line, huh?
Uh-huh. And, of course, a lot of times when you read these, if you read them carefully, you can see that the grammar is not the grammar that would be used by somebody for whom English is a first language.
So with heavy heart, what did you do?
With heavy heart, I went... Tore it up. By the way, ironically, this gentleman, because his signature on his emails includes his phone number, his cell number, and his direct line to his office are right here on the email, so it would be very easy. And again, our recommendation to folks, if you ever get one of those, is pick up the phone and call the person, because most likely it's just a scam, and you're either going to mess up your computer or your bank account with what happens next. So call the person and find out that they are indeed at home and have no idea that somebody has hacked into their computer.
All right, to the mailbag we go. We've got 4 minutes. The very first one relates to me as well. So,
okay, you got after the TSA in Sacramento recently for not letting people through security fast enough. My family is flying to Orlando for Thanksgiving and leaving on the Tuesday before the holiday. How long before our flight should we be at the airport? Is there anything special we should know? Stephen from Roseville. If I always tell folks, get to the airport an hour and a half before your flight leaves. That got me in trouble a few weeks ago because the TSA people had their finger up their nose. So I would suggest you an hour and 45 minutes. I'd be pulling into the parking lot of the airport an hour and 45 minutes ahead of time. And to people who say that's way too much time to spend at the airport, I would just suggest to you that you eliminate a tremendous amount of stress from your trip by allowing just a little extra time. And if something goes wrong, then you've got that little bit of extra time and you're not going to miss your flight. And you know there aren't going to be any empty seats around Thanksgiving, so you do not miss your flight.
Yes, and enjoy the food there. Go hungry.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, what airline you're flying, how many little ones you're bringing, how much luggage you have, whether you prepaid for it online, you know, all of those things are also factors. So if you've got kids with you and a lot of bags to check and stuff like that, you might even consider a few more minutes on that. If you're flying out of the new or the old terminal, there are lots of concessions in there. There's plenty of places to get things to eat and to take up your time once you get through security. So I would definitely add a little more time. The next one, Tom, comes, it says, Justin in Stockton writes, I'm concerned Sacramento never shows up on the discounted tickets United Airlines offers on sale at the last minute. Is there a reason Sacramento isn't on the bargain list ever? Bakersfield is. Justin, I would tell you and other folks that this is a direct result of these high landing fees at the airport. Southwest has cut 20% of their service. United has cut 25% of their lift by using smaller planes and less frequencies. You're going to see this continue, I'm afraid, until our airport people wake up, and it's going to take a little longer to pay off that airport. They built a new airport. The economy went in the tank, and trying to recover the cost of the airport on the plan they have is very tough on the airlines, and they're making it known that they're not willing to pay those fees, and that's why Sacramento is not showing up on sale lists as often on Southwest. There aren't nearly as many Southwest cities on their sale list every week as there used to be. United hasn't been on the sale. Sacramento hasn't been on United sale list for 2 or 3 months. So I think this is a trend that we're going to see more of.
You know, Margaret wants to thank you for that story on travel safety for women. Said you really got some tips there, especially the one about arriving at the destination before dark. Let's see if we can go ahead and answer this one that you got about the Delta American Express card.
Okay, let's see. I've got a Delta American Express card. I'm piling up the miles. I've tried for several months now to get 2 award tickets to Washington, D.C., and can never find them at the 25,000 level. Do you have any secrets for getting award tickets, particularly on Delta? Sign me a frustrated credit card holder. What good are the miles if you can't use them? And I would say very quickly, folks, at this frequent flyer gathering in Chicago, they refer to Delta Sky Miles as Delta Sky Pesos now. That's how little value they are. You need to go to one of the guys like PointsPros.com or BookYourAward.com and ask those guys to help you for the amount of money. It'll be well worth it.
Don't forget now, ladies and gentlemen, next week we'll be back right here at 2 o'clock with a very special program and our buddy Henry Bernanke, our favorite American Virgin American airline pilot, will be joining us.
And then in 2 weeks, we'll have some of these folks from this very event in Chicago with us, and you won't want to miss that if you're a frequent flyer.
Mark, you have a safe trip home, okay?
Yeah, I will, Thomas.